My Lord, what a morning. Isn't it a beautiful day? I think summer, spring might come today. I hope that this sun puts a little bounce in your giddy up, because we have a lot to be thankful for. Sometimes we think that this winter has gotten long, you know, and colds are going around and flu and aches and pains, and you guys aren't getting any younger. Yeah. Yeah, but we have so much to be thankful for, and God is so good to us. And I was thinking, they asked me if I would do the invocation at the baccalaureate, Aiken Baccalaureate tonight. You think I should tell them that story, Lee?
I'm not sure.
I might as well, just to tell you how I fooled you through these years. When I was 26, my first call was up in Embarrass and Pike townships on the Iron Range. The new guys on the block, they invite to come, and they're the ones who get stuck doing baccalaureate. So they asked me to do the invocation. So I went there, and I warmed up the crowd. I mean, I was, you remember Johnny Carson? I was Ed McMahon warming up the crowd. I told about teenagers picking pimples and asking your girl for to go to the prom and first dance and getting your driver's license and all of that stuff. And I sat down, and my wife says, "You didn't say a prayer." I says, "Was I supposed to say a prayer?" I thought that you did the invocation, you welcomed people and warmed up the crowd, so I got them going, you know. And my wife was so embarrassed, she never went back to Babbitt again. But I get to do the invocation tonight, so I will invoke the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and ask God to bless these young people who are graduating. But this world that they're going into, boy, oh boy, it's kind of scary to me. I mean, they're going to have to deal with water issues and changing environmental issues and pockets of war, doing war different than what we did, and all the high technology that's running out there, and little spooky. But I think they're up to it. I hope they're up to it. I trust they're up to it, and so we'll ask God to bless them. But oh, welcome, Mrs. Samuelson. I haven't seen you. Every week there's someone new. Hey, oh, welcome back. Yeah, let's greet one another in the name of the Lord. I hope you noticed that Mr. Berg snuck in during the handshakes. Now I can give the announcements. Next Saturday is Memorial Weekend Saturday, and the veggie stand is open, okay? So if you've got plants or transplants or anything like that, trees, bushes started, and you got too many, bring them over to the veggie stand. If you bake this week, bring over some cookies or bars or something like that. The veggie stand is a wonderful, wonderful ministry to help the neighborhood down the road. So veggie stand will be open next Saturday, Memorial Weekend. And then the first Saturday in July, through July and August, the veggie stand will remain open. If you haven't signed your grandkids up for vacation Bible school, please do that. Golf starts tomorrow. All right, it's about time. The first time, yeah, I hear you played in the sleet this week, Dave. You really, yeah. The first time I announced this way back 10, 12 years ago, I asked, are women invited? Someone asked me if women, so I asked women invited. And Dave Andrews, do you remember Dave? God rest his soul. Dave says, don't you know what golf stands for? G-O-L-F. Gentlemen only. Ladies forbidden. And I announced that, and they could have nailed me to that cross up there. So everyone's welcome, okay? Everyone's welcome. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your love and for your Son, Jesus. Sometimes we take life so seriously. Sometimes we want to control what happens with our health and with our kids and grandkids, with our neighbors, with our church, and things don't fall our way. Remind us today that you smile upon us. You love us. You will never stop caring for us. And that as we work our way on our journeys, each one of us, that you will be by our side to lift us up and care for us. Bless us as we gather around your holy table and fill us with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is My Lord, What a Morning, 627, in your blue books today. Blue books. We're supposed to sing that again, aren't we? Let's sing that one more time. Mar, let's sing that refrain. We goofed it up. Lead that refrain, that beginning.
You don't want the refrain?
Yeah, we want the refrain. Let's sing that. My Lord, what a morning. Let's sing that one more time. I know. I wasn't singing, though. I goofed. My Lord, what a morning. My Lord, what a morning. Oh, my Lord. What a morning when the sun begins to shine. Thank you. Ooh, wow. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, the life beyond all death, the joy beyond all sorrow, our everlasting home. Rejoicing in Christ's victory over sin and death, let us come before God who calls us to repentance. Let's take a moment for silent reflection and self-examination. Let us confess together, God of life, by the resurrection of your Son, you make everything new. Newness scares us, and we confess to shutting our doors in fear. We have not listened to the voices that challenge us.
We have resisted the Holy Spirit, moving us in new directions. Our hearts are slow to believe your promises. Forgive us, O God, and renew us to embrace without fear the new life in Jesus Christ. Amen.
People of God, Christ is alive. Death has lost its power. Through the waters of baptism, you have been born anew by the living Word of God. Know that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name, and that the Spirit of the risen Christ is alive in you, both now and forever.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into a single will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
The first lesson is from the chapter of the Acts, verses 55 through 60. Stephen was one of the seven men chosen by the apostles to serve tables so that the apostles could be free to serve the word. Stephen does more than distribute food, however. For his preaching of God's word, he became the first martyr of the faith. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were holding Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. We will read Psalm 31 responsively. Please recite aloud the bold print, and where you see the bold R, the refrain, "Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me into your righteousness. Be my strong rock, castles to keep me safe, for you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net that they have secretly set for me, for you are my tower of strength. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth.
My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Here ends the reading. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel lesson for the fifth Sunday of Easter is found in the 14th chapter of St. John. On a night that he is about to be arrested, Jesus shares final words with his disciples. As the one through whom God is known, he promises to go before them and act on their behalf. John writes, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, 767.
Thank you.
You're playing really well today.
Thanks.
I liked it.
I do too.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a silly story about a couple who were on their honeymoon. They're staying at the Watergate Hotel. Have you noticed Watergate been in the paper this week? Jeb Magruder died, was buried. His obituary was in the paper yesterday. Jeb was one of those conspirators, huh? Anyway, in this story, you all know what happened at Watergate. I know you know because you're of that generation. Of course, that was the Nixon administration. Chuck, the Nixon administration used the Watergate Hotel. And they bugged it, you know, and they got caught. It was a dark, kind of a dark time in history of American politics. But this young couple decided to stay at the Watergate Hotel. So they were just newlyweds. And when they got into their hotel room, the bride was a little concerned. And she asked her partner, you know, what if this place is bugged? And the groom said, yeah, good point. I'll look around. And so he looked in the chandeliers, and he looked in the lamps, and he looked on the wall and the pictures, and he looked underneath the carpet, and sure enough, there was a plate down there with four screws. And he said, this is not right. I think I found something. So he got his Swiss Army knife out and unscrewed the four screws and took the plate and put it outside the window and closed the window down. Well, the next morning, the hotel manager asked the newlyweds in a kind of a brusque voice, well, how was your room? How was the service? How was your stay at the Watergate Hotel? Curious, the groom asked the manager, you know, why, sir, are you asking me these questions? And the hotel manager says, well, in the room under yours, the people complained because the chandelier fell right through the ground. So, sorry, I had to tell you that one. It's a dumb story. However, it does illustrate the fact that fear, you know, fear makes us do some ridiculous things sometimes. In fact, as we've noted before, the fear is at the base of many of our problems. Jesus says in our lesson today, do not let your hearts be troubled. He could have said, don't let them be afraid, huh? Have you ever known anyone who, with a troubled heart? Obviously, this young couple staying at the Watergate was worried someone might be listening in on their conversations. I mean, they were afraid the room was bugged. They went to extraordinary lengths to calm their fears, much to the chagrin of the people who were staying in the room below them. In her book, Real Wealth, Sarah Van Gelder says something that I think is interesting. She writes, the United States is among the wealthiest countries in the world, and yet it is filled with people rich and poor who are anxious about their future and who feel that they don't have enough. Are you among those people who are anxious about your future, fearful that you don't have enough? Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled today. That's the master talking to us. Boy, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if we didn't have troubled hearts? If I asked you to describe a troubled heart, how would you describe it? Maybe you'd say fearful, angry, envious, stressed out, bitter. I could go on and on and on. A heart can be troubled by many things. My guess is that most of them would be boiled down to the fact that that we have fear. We're afraid of something happening. What is envy except that the fear that we don't measure up, and so we need to have the stuff that our neighbors have. We envy it. We're afraid we don't have enough. We don't match up. What is greed but a fear that we don't have enough to take care of us, that our lives are incomplete that way. Fear is a basic issue that is dealt with throughout the scripture. Think how many times the Lord says, be not afraid, don't be afraid. And that's what he's saying here. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. That's the message for us today. Stories told of Caesar Augustus. He was always living in fear, huh? He was afraid
for a variety of reasons. The empire is continually at war. He's afraid people are going to usurp his power, so all the politics that was going on made him afraid. One day he heard about a man in his kingdom who was heavily in debt and yet was known to sleep peacefully no matter what. And Augustus went to that man and offered to buy his bed. Think about that. Augustus thought that he would sleep better if he changed beds with this guy. I've known people like that. My life will be a whole lot better if I change jobs. My life will be a whole lot better if I find another church or a better community or if I find a different spouse. And they find out that nothing really changes. Happiness is an inside job here. There's nothing on the outside that can help a troubled heart. Only from within can we find the help that we need. Huh? Whether we're ahead of a mighty empire or simply an average person trying to come to grips with an unhappy life. Of course, some of us have legitimate problems. There's no question about that, including legitimate fears about our health or our parents or grandparents or kids or grandkids. Our future, even. What does the future hold for us? I think about these high schoolers these days. They probably don't have a care in the world when they think about what's coming ahead. But you and I know a little differently that it's going to be tough for them out there. There are some of us who are troubled far beyond what we need to be. You know, we need to open ourselves up to the great physician, the great healer, and ask him to change our attitudes toward life. Jesus said to his followers, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Let me give you a simple formula for a troubled heart. All of these are contained in the teachings of our Lord. I need to be reminded of them. I think you probably wouldn't hurt you either. They're simple, but they're powerful. The first is ask God for a new perspective in how you're viewing your world, huh? How you're viewing your journey. Many of us are blessed beyond our wildest dreams when you think about it, if you really look at it. And yet we don't have any peace in our lives. If only we could step back and look at our lives through the eyes of faith. Jesus said, "Don't be like the heathen. They take pride in all of these things." And he was talking about the birds of the air, the beautiful flowers. He's saying, we worry about what we eat and what we drink and what we have and all the rest. He says, don't worry about all these things. Don't be concerned about them. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need, and he'll provide what you need down the road. We need to take a step back every once in a while and take a deep breath. Take a deep breath and ask ourselves if the things we're really concerned about are really deserve so much of our time and energy. Reminds me of something that old baseball pitcher Tug McGraw used to say. Tug McGraw had a kid who's a country western singer. Anybody know his first name? Tim. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tim McGraw. Yeah, everybody knows Tim McGraw. They don't know Tug. Tug played for the St. Louis Redbirds Cardinals. He was a relief pitcher in his latter years, and he had what they called his frozen snowball theory. He said if you come into to pitch with the bases loaded, as he often did, and a heavy hitter like Willie Stargell was up, you just knew that Stargell was going to hit a grand slam if the bases were loaded. And he said he'd have to step back and envision what he called this frozen snowball theory. He said he knew he had to pitch. He couldn't put it off much longer. And so he would remind himself that a few billion years from now, when the earth would become a frozen snowball floating through the heavens, nobody was even going to care what Willie Stargell did that afternoon. So he'd get up there and just throw it. Forget about it. In the great scheme of things, centuries from now, who's going to remember? That's a pretty good philosophy, I think. If you have a troubled heart, pray that God will give you a new perspective about your life. If you have a troubled heart, pray that he'll take care of it. Let me suggest something else that you might want to do. Ask God for patience. Now, some of you know that I say, don't ever ask God for patience because he'll keep dumping and dumping and dumping on you until finally you say, hey, I've had enough. I'm going to give it to you. I might have been wrong. Sometimes if you'll just be patient, problems have a way of working themselves out. I think sometimes when it comes to worry, some of us are superstitious, and we think that the more we worry about it and the less we relax about it, that we will help solve the problem. Actually, the exact opposite is true. It takes its toll on us when we worry and worry and worry. Huh? Pray that God will give you a new perspective. Pray that that he'll give you patience. I heard a story, a guy by the name of J. Arthur Rank had a system for dealing with worrying. He was one of the early pioneers in the film industry in Britain, but he is also a strong Christian. Rank found that he couldn't push his worries out of his mind completely, and they were always slipping back into his thinking, and so he just worried constantly. Finally, he made a pact with God to limiting his worries to one day a week, Wednesdays, and he put together what he called the Wednesday Worry Box. So all through the week, if he had a worry, he'd write it down and stick it in the box. Worry, stick it out in the box and forget about it. On Wednesday, he'd open the box, and you know what happened? Over less than a third of all the things he would worry about had already taken care of themselves. He didn't have to spend time worrying about it. And the ones that were there, he took care of on Wednesdays. That's the surprise. If you have a troubled heart, ask God for a new perspective. Also ask him to give you patience so that you don't jump ahead and worry about a problem that may never, ever happen, huh? Most important of all, I think, is ask God for more faith. Faith in God is the best remedy for all of our problems. Jesus put it plainly. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God that he loves you. And he'll always be with you, and he'll take care of you. And believe also in me, Jesus said. The real reason many of us have troubled hearts is that we don't really trust God fully. We're not certain that God really cares about us. We're not even sure that God really accepts us as we are. I think that's the heart of this whole deal. There's a wonderful preacher named Dr. Tom Long. He talked about a well-known theologian who once confessed that he was plagued by many nights of a terrible dream. This theologian dreamed that he was traveling in some distant cities. He ran into someone with whom he had gone to high school. And in the dream, that person would ask him, Henry, haven't seen you in years. What have you done with your life? And this question always felt like a judgment to this theologian. He'd done some good things in his life, but there had also been some troubles and some struggles and some mistakes. And when the old schoolmate in the dream would say, what have you done with your life? He wouldn't know what to say, how to account for his life. But then one night he had a different dream. He dreamed that he died and went to heaven, and he was waiting outside the throne room of God, waiting to stand before the Almighty God, and he was shivering in fear, and he just knew that God would be surrounded with fire and brimstone and smoke and would speak with a deep voice saying, Henry, what have you done with your life? But then in the dream, when the door to God's throne room finally opened, this room was filled with light. And when he went into the room, he could hear God speaking to him in a gentle voice saying, Henry, it's good to see you. I see you've had a rough trip. But I'd love to see your slides. I believe that's how God is going to greet each one of us, you know. I hear you had a rough trip. I'd love to see your slides, though. You have a troubled heart? Ask God to give you a new perspective about your life. Ask him to give you some patience, so that you're not constantly living in dread of the things that may never occur. And finally, ask him for the greatest gift of all, the gift of faith. Trust God. He'll always travel with us, and he'll always love us, and he always wants what's best for us. Do not let your heart be troubled, says Jesus, the Master. You believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join in singing our next hymn, I Want Jesus to Walk with Me, and we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Please rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer, bottom of page 4. Let us pray together. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Made alive in Christ and filled with His Spirit, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. God of our salvation, you have made us your living stones in the waters of baptism. We pray for the church and its leaders, for the newly baptized, for missionaries around the world. Lord, in your mercy, God, our home, your Spirit dwells with creation. We pray for the earth, for clean water and air, for the earth's foundation, for the lands all creatures inhabit. Lord, in your mercy, God, our way, you call us to paths of justice. We pray for nations and leaders, for courts and legislatures, for strife-torn communities, for our enemies. Lord, in your mercy, God, our refuge, you deliver us in times of trouble. We pray for the rejected and persecuted, for neglected infants and children, for the sick, especially those in our lives who need your healing touch, who we name in our hearts before you. We pray for all in need. Lord, in your mercy, God, our shelter, you draw all people to yourself. We pray for those who are homeless and those with inadequate housing, for all who come to this building seeking a safe haven. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your promise of life in the age to come. Grant us each a deep and abiding resurrection faith. Especially ask your presence to be with Jeanette Brooks' family as they mourn her loss this week. Comfort them in their sorrow. And we pray, O Lord, for high school graduates here and throughout our nation who will go out into an uncertain future. Give them vision, give them hope, and give them a faith in you as well.
And Lord, watch over our loved ones, family, and friends. Remind them again and again of your deep, abiding, absolute love for them. God, our life, you prepare a place for us. We give thanks for the witness of your saints. Lead us also in Christ's way and truth. Lord, in your mercy, receive our prayers, merciful God, and dwell in us richly through Jesus Christ, our life and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And so we gather at this holy table, ever mindful of God's love and God's presence in our lives through His Spirit. This is a table of new beginnings, new starts. We're invited to shake off the worries and cares of the winter, the worries and cares that we carry every day, and to begin anew. At Jesus' last meal, he wanted to give his disciples a new start, and he took bread, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave them another sign. He said, "Take and drink, all of it. For this is the new covenant, the new promise that I give you, that your sins are forgiven, your sins and the sins of all the world. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. All are welcome at the table of our Lord. If you are gluten intolerant, please ask the server, and we have bread for you. The light liquid is grape juice. The dark liquid is wine. Come, eat and drink. Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion on page 6. Let us pray. Loving God, by your Spirit we are born anew, and you nourish us like newborns with this holy food by which we grow into salvation. Give us grace to live as your risen daughters and sons, shining in the world with your marvelous light, until you gather all creation to the heavenly table where Christ reigns in glory forever. Amen. The grace of the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, restore, support, strengthen, and bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is your light.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 765.